98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning. It is 8 o'clock, and this is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Ted Woodward. Steve McIntosh has the day off. It is Tuesday, October 22nd. We'll be taking a look at violence in the Middle East. We'll get you updated on that. We've also got our full weather forecast on the way. Currently in Wichita, we have a sunny sky. It is 56 degrees here on this Tuesday morning, on our way to a high of 86. Evergy announcing plans to build a couple of high-efficiency natural gas plants right here in south-central Kansas. One of those plants will be built south of Hutchinson in Reno County, the other in northwest Sumner County. That plant in Sumner County will start providing electricity by the year 2029, and then power from the plant in Reno County the year after that. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly says the plants will bolster the state's energy needs.
I think Kansas has just been very good all along the way at recognizing that energy and energy delivery isn't all of the above. That we have lots of natural resources right here in our state, and we're making the best use of all of them, from our oil and gas to our wind, to our solar, and now our natural gas.
More than 500 jobs will be created at each plant during construction, and then once they become operational, the plants will add about 30 skilled positions. An airstrike on Beirut and explosions heard in Tel Aviv, the latest on the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah.
Sirens rang out in and around Israel's densest urban area early this morning, with Hezbollah rockets raining down. The militant group claims to have been attacking an Israeli intelligence base in Tel Aviv. The Israel Defense Forces says the majority of projectiles were intercepted. Meanwhile, Israel's own strikes on Hezbollah targets in Lebanon continue. The Lebanese Health Ministry reports 4 people, including a child, were killed yesterday evening near the main government hospital in southern Beirut. Israel says it was attacking Hezbollah targets. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
Early voting began yesterday in Sedgwick County. Lines were long right from the start. Sedgwick County Election Commissioner Laura Rainwater says when the doors first opened, lines were out the door.
At the election office, over 100 voters went through in the first hour alone. So it's going to be like this from now until Election Day.
This week, there are 3 early sites where residents may vote, including the Sedgwick County Extension Office at 21st and Ridge, Reformation Lutheran Church near 13th and Rock, and the Sedgwick County Election Office downtown on North Main, near Central and Main. Beginning next week, a week from today, on Tuesday the 29th, Sedgwick County voters will have 20 sites to choose from. More than 2,000 voters cast their ballots in person in Sedgwick County yesterday. And another 3,800 advance mail-in ballots were also returned yesterday. The Wichita City Council will attend a workshop today. Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News.
This October, our workshop will focus around the future of the current water treatment plant, the water and sewer rates for 2025, as well as the public art overview. So 3 different items that will be presented by staff.
Mayor Wu says there's no formal action taken at those workshops. Wu commented during Mondays with the Mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS. Former President Trump making efforts to court minority voters as he and Vice President Kamala Harris enter the home stretch.
The former president has a really great opportunity this year, specifically because of the immigration crisis and the economy, to really reach out to minority voters, voters that would have normally gone to the Democratic Party. We saw that last week with Arab and Muslim Americans. We're seeing that with Hispanic Americans and Black Americans. This brand new Suffolk poll out, it shows that Trump is leading Harris amongst Latino voters in a head-to-head. That's a big deal. He's trailing pretty far behind Harris among Black voters, but he got 8% to President Biden's 91% amongst Black voters in 2020, so doing a lot better this time around.
That's Fox's Aisha Hosni with that report from Doral, Florida. A Wichita firefighter released from the hospital after battling a weekend fire. That firefighter suffered from stress and heat while fighting a house fire in southeast Wichita on Saturday morning. That fire at that home is considered to be a total loss. A response from McDonald's with politics in the offing, and Getting emotional before getting on that flight. You better get to it at one international airport. We'll talk about that. And, of course, we'll get your full weather forecast coming up on this Tuesday. KNSS News Time is 8:05. It's 8:08 with Steve and Ted in the morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. McDonald's responds after former President Trump's weekend event at a Pennsylvania franchise.
In a message to employees obtained by the Associated Press, McDonald's says they agreed to the Trump visit after the owner-operator reached out, saying in part, "We approached it through the lens of one of our core values. We open our doors to everyone." Adding, McDonald's does not endorse candidates for elected office. Trump staffed the fry station Sunday before answering questions through the drive-thru window. The restaurant was closed to the public during the visit. Vice President Harris has recounted working at a McDonald's during college for spending money, while Trump has claimed she's lying. The company sidestepped that issue by saying it's proud of Harris's fond memories working under the arches. Lee Silicera, Fox News.
Well, people who want to hug it out before getting on an airplane will have to budget their time to do so at one airport overseas.
3 minutes. And that's all you're getting at a New Zealand airport imposing a time limit for departing travelers who just don't have the heart to say goodbye. The airport in Dunedin says you have to make those goodbye hugs at the drop-off area a little quicker because it wants to keep things moving smoothly and prevent traffic jams. Anyone seeking to share a longer farewell hug might see a sign outside the terminal suggesting they go to the airport parking lot where they can embrace free of charge for up to 15 minutes. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
It's 8:10 with Steve and Ted in the morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Right now in traffic, the heaviest traffic on the Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras still seems to be northbound on I-235 approaching I-135, and then I-135 southbound there approaching K-96 up there in that road construction traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Traffic is brought to you by Joe DeBrava and Carl's Goodyear Tire. Two locations, downtown at Market and Waterman and 47th Street South and Broadway in the former Kmart building. You can see it all at carlstire.com. Carl's Goodyear is your home for complete car care.
And a look at our weather forecast here on this Tuesday morning. Looking at a high today of 86 degrees, warmer than normal under a mostly sunny sky. Mostly clear tonight with an overnight low down to 52, and then mostly sunny again tomorrow, a breezy day on Wednesday, not as warm tomorrow, a high of 79 on Wednesday. Currently in Wichita, we have a breeze out of the south-southwest, a sunny sky, it is 56 degrees, on our way to a high of 86, here at Wichita's Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Hey, Hatman Jack's new fall line of hats has arrived. See why people from around the nation make Hatman Jack's their destination. Open Tuesday through Saturday, right there at the Clock Tower in Delano. For the largest selection of Western hats, fedoras, and caps, you gotta see the experts at Hatman Jack's, one of Wichita's great treasures, Hatman Jack's. It is 8:11 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. And, you know, this issue of people who earn minimum wage should then really rely on tips. Should they be getting taxed on those tips? And another issue, should the minimum wage be lower for workers that do get tips? Let's find out what's going on with this. And we got a couple of states involved. Let's check in with Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso in Chicago. Good morning, Jeff.
Lower for workers who get tipped. And voters in at least two states for now, they're going to decide, it's Arizona and Massachusetts, whether or not employers should be able to continue to pay tipped workers, like servers and bartenders, a lower minimum wage than the non-tipped workers, a sub-minimum wage, as it's called. What's crazy is that right now, federal labor law allows businesses to pay tipped workers less than the minimum wage, but that it's just a little over $2 an hour, and it's been that way since 1981. Of course, the amount tipped workers varies by state. 14 states pay the federal minimum, or just, again, just above $2 an hour. $7 an hour for non-tipped workers. Arizona's current minimum wage is $14.35 an hour, and so employers can pay their gift workers $3 less. Voters in Massachusetts can be doing something a little different. They're being asked to eliminate the tiered minimum wage system. So what they'll do is they'll increase the state's tipped worker wage, currently $6.75 an hour, until it meets the regular minimum wage by January of 2029. Other states have wage measures on the ballot. In California, voters are going to choose whether to raise the hourly minimum wage to from $16 to $18 by 2026. Michigan is also thinking about joining. Well, it's going to be joining Massachusetts as it phases out its sub-minimum wage as well. But that's the question. You know, if you're a tipped worker, are you afraid that people might not tip you as much? Would you like to make the regular minimum wage and in hopes that people will continue to give you tips? I think people are kind of on the fence on that, but some lawmakers in these states say it's really out of fairness. You know, why should tipped workers make less? They're counting on these tips. It doesn't mean they always come, the tips.
Well, and we're not talking about a portion of the workforce that's getting rich.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. You're talking to a former tipped worker, and I think making the regular minimum wage, I think I probably would have been all for it. But then I've spoken to some that say, hey, most people tip kind of on average at least 20%. If the minimum wage goes up to what everybody else is making, there are fears it might go down to 10%, 5%. Things like that. So, we'll see how this pans out. But it definitely is something that people are talking about. And there are similar measures in Alaska, also Missouri, that would gradually raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. In the last 2 years, D.C., Chicago have also started to eliminate the sub minimum wage. So things are kind of shifting, but $2 an hour, the federal sub-minimum wage for tipped workers seems a little low.
And another thing I saw is that this really affects women, who nearly 70% of those who worked in tipped professions are female, and that's affecting them very disproportionately.
Yeah, 100%. And however, particularly in this economy where, people, it's not as easy to tip for many Americans. This might be a way for these tipped workers to be able to, balance out their expenses, their monthly expenses, because, it's kind of tough out there.
Jeff Manasso, what's going on in Chicago today?
Not much is going on in Chicago. It's kind of, it's all eyes on the next 2 weeks and what's happening nationwide in terms of the vote. Obviously, Illinois seems to be kind of a wash for Democrats, but everybody seems to be talking about the election.
All right. Yeah, that's in everybody's mirror right now. All right. Hey, Jeff, thanks for checking in with us. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
That's Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso live with us this morning in Chicago, talking about tipped workers and how that's going on, and a couple of states trying to vote and figure out their policy on that whole issue. It's 8:17 with Steve and Ted on KNSS. There's an affordability shift in the U.S. auto industry right now. The trend is being led by people who feel they can no longer afford a new vehicle that would cost them roughly today's average selling price of more than $47,000. That's a jump of more than 20% from the pre-pandemic average. I would be one of those people. Yeah. I can't afford to buy a new car.
Oh, me too.
Yet there are other buyers who could manage the financial burden, but have not figured out yet if it's worth that cost. Well, the trend is forcing automakers to reassess their sales and production strategies. If the trend toward lower-priced vehicles proves to be one that lasts, more generous discounts could lead to lower average car prices and slowing industry profits. So the consumer, I guess, will decide if they can shell out that kind of money for a new car or can't.
Yeah.
And the auto industry will have to figure things out if the latter is the case. If people can't afford to buy a new car anymore,
I'll just say this.
They'll have to figure it out.
Anything to bring the prices down, even if that means less profits. Bring those prices down.
Well, It certainly seems to make sense to you and me, but I guess we're not sitting in the GMC boardroom.
Nope. And I don't care who is.
All right. It's 8:18 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Let's take a look at what's going on in sports. Yes. How about, we'll start with pro football. We've got the weekly edition of the Chiefs Kingdom Show, and that is tonight, hosted by the play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. That'll be at 6 o'clock tonight over on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Oh, those Chiefs. They are the only undefeated team in the NFL. 6-0 on the season, on a 12-game winning streak, including the Super Bowl win several months ago. Next up for the Chiefs, heading out west again. A road game in Las Vegas against their division rival, the Raiders. That'll be Sunday afternoon right here on KNSS. So they've got the Chiefs Kingdom Show, a lot to talk about tonight. That'll be 6 o'clock tonight over on KFH. And we had two Monday Night Football games last night.
After a full Sunday of football, the NFL provided double the fun to wrap up Week 7. In the first game, the Ravens defeated the Buccaneers 41-31 for their fifth win in a row. After Tampa Bay jumped out to a 10-0 lead, the Ravens' offense ripped off 34 unanswered points. Baltimore had 508 yards of offense, while quarterback Lamar Jackson finished the night with 5 passing touchdowns, tying the Ravens' single-game record. In the late game, the Cardinals took down the Chargers 17-15, thanks to a 32-yard walk-off field goal from kicker Chad Ryland. Joe Morgan, Fox News.
All right, that wraps up the week in the NFL as we get ready for another week coming up. All right, hockey last night in the National Hockey League. The Toronto Maple Leafs win on home ice in front of 18,000 fans, beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-2. Look who helped out again for the Maple Leafs. Former Wichita Thunder forward Bobby McMahon. He had his first assist of the season. Came in the second period, put Toronto up 3-1. Maple Leafs on their way to that 5-2 win over Tampa. The Maple Leafs are 3-1 on home ice, and they've won 4 out of their last 5. And former Thunder forward Bobby McMahon helping the Maple Leafs to another win. All right, got a couple of items from baseball for the Royals on this day in history. Let's flash back 10 years ago on this night. The Royals in Game 2 of the World Series against the San Francisco Giants. And the Royals got the win 7-2, evening up that World Series at one game apiece. The Royals broke a 2-2 tie in the sixth inning, broke it open with 5 runs as the Giants were using 5 pitchers out of the bullpen trying to stop the bleeding. Former Wichita Wrangler Billy Butler put the Royals ahead with a run-scoring single. Then there was a 2-run double by Salvador Perez, and then a 2-run homer by Omar Infante, both against a rookie pitcher for the Giants. There you go. The Royals with a win in the World Game 2 of the World Series 10 years ago on this night. And we go back even further. 30 years ago on this day, the American League naming its Rookie of the Year. The final two candidates were Manny Ramirez and Bob Hamlin. Yep, Bob Hamlin of the Kansas City Royals. Who won? Bob Hamlin.
Really?
Bob Hamlin was named the American League Rookie of the Year over Manny Ramirez.
Over Manny Ramirez.
30 years ago today. Now, Bob Hamlin, now that was the strike year, so.
Oh, okay.
A little bit less of a sample size, but still, 100 games. Bob Hamlin batted .282. He hit 24 home runs in his 101 games, won the American League Rookie of the Year. His career did not bear that out. That was his best year, was his rookie year in 94.
I was going to say, Manny Ramirez probably had a little bit better career stats.
Meanwhile, Manny Ramirez went on to be a 12-time All-Star, a 9-time Silver Slugger, 2 World Series rings, a World Series MVP, and a batting title. So even though Bob Hamlin may have been the better player in 1994 for 1 year, Manny Ramirez, I think, had the better numbers throughout the whole career. But it was 30 years ago today that Bob Hamlin of the Kansas City Royals was named Rookie of the Year in the American League. There you go. That's sports with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. It's 8:22 with Steve and Ted on KNSS. We have a traffic and weather update on the way, and all they can do is lie about Trump. That's coming up on the Sean Hannity Morning Minute next on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning. It is 8:31. You're listening to 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. It is Tuesday, October 22nd. Currently in Wichita, we have a sunny sky, 56 degrees. KNSS breaking news this morning, a man critically injured. He was hit by a car at about 6:45 this morning at 21st and Rock, just by the Dillon's grocery store. The car was heading west on 21st when this happened. The pedestrian was wearing dark clothing and was not in the crosswalk area. The man was hospitalized in extremely critical condition. The driver did remain on the scene and has been cooperative with investigators. And police had to shut down 21st Street in that area during that investigation. Pedestrian hit by a car this morning at 21st and Rock. Advance voting began yesterday in Sedgwick County. Election Commissioner Laura Rainwater telling KNSS News more voting sites have been added for this year's election.
On Election Day, we added 25 new ones, so we're up to 107 polling sites. We did add four satellite early voting locations that open up next Tuesday. So we have 17 more early voting sites that will open up next Tuesday.
Rainwater urging people to vote early, and she's expecting long lines on Election Day itself coming up on November 5th. A candlelight vigil was held for SMA Hesse, the 12-year-old girl who died after she was hit by a car Saturday. Friends and family last evening organizing the vigil at 13th and Ridge, saying that Hesse was creative and energetic. This tragedy has shaken the community in West Wichita. Candlelight illuminated ongoing support for Hesse last evening. She was hit at 13th and Ridge in West Wichita late Saturday afternoon. People leaving gifts and flowers at the memorial just steps away from where the collision occurred. The investigation continues into the leak of United States intelligence material concerning a possible Israeli military attack on Iran.
National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby discussed the situation Monday.
We're not exactly sure how these documents found their way into the public domain.
Kirby adding that President Biden is concerned about the situation.
That is not supposed to happen, and it's unacceptable when it does.
Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio expressed anger over the leak during an appearance on Fox's The Story with Martha McCallum.
It's both a federal crime to leak that information. It's also an act of treason. It's an aiding an enemy of the United States, a government in Iran that basically says death to America, death to Israel every week. It's their slogan.
The senator also issuing this bottom line.
We need to know who did this and they need to be punished.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
An Italian surfer has died, a freak accident.
36-year-old Giulia Manfrini was surfing off an Indonesian island when the swordfish stabbed her in the chest. She reportedly managed to get the attention of two other tourists who rushed to her side and provided first aid before taking her to a clinic. But by then, it was too late. Manfrini was an avid surfer and dreamed of opening a travel agency for sports vacations. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
A century-old time capsule's contents were unveiled this week in Kansas City.
Before they could open it, they had to get to it, excavating and slowly chipping away at walls, revealing a metal box that's been inside Kansas City's Liberty World War I Memorial since 1924.
This is every historian's dream, that you would be able to open a time capsule like this and that it actually survived. What a wonderful thing that is, that tells stories from the past.
Kansas City World War I Museum Chief Curator Christopher Warren. Inside the time capsule, newspapers, a Bible, medals, pictures, a copy of the U.S. Constitution, and proclamations from world leaders that are all now on display at the museum. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
8:49 with Steve and Ted here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. A Wichita Business Journal update is on the way. Now, Steve and Ted, it's time for three big things.
Three.
A pedestrian was hit by a car this morning near 21st and Rock in northeast Wichita. That victim hospitalized in extremely critical condition.
Two.
Early voting began yesterday in Sedgwick County. Currently three early sites open for voting, and more than 2,100 people voted in person yesterday.
One.
Evergy is going to build a couple of high-efficiency natural gas power plants here in south-central Kansas, in Reno and Sumner County. Three big things with Steve and Ted, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Traffic right now in the Wichita area is starting to look quite a bit better out there. Traffic volumes have thinned out considerably, and so we're seeing things looking just a little bit better on the roadways here in the Wichita area this morning. On the Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras, you can see that on the highways. Things are looking pretty good out there at the moment. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
And as we look at our weather forecast here on this Tuesday, looking at a high today of 86 degrees, a little warmer than usual, mostly sunny today. Overnight low tonight down to 52 on a mostly clear night. And then looking ahead for Wednesday, mostly sunny tomorrow, a breezy day on Wednesday with a high a little lower than today, 79. Currently in Wichita, we have a sunny sky. It is 56 degrees on our way to a high of 86 here on this Tuesday. We got the, of course, coming up after Steve and Ted, we got the Glenn Beck program. And his guest right away in the 9 o'clock hour is Justin Haskins, co-author of Propaganda Wars. They'll be talking about the global elite's propaganda industrial complex designed to control what you think. It's coming up next on the Glenn Beck program right after Steve and Ted, 9 o'clock this morning. It's 8:52 with Steve and Ted here with on KNSS, and let's take a look at a local business update from the Wichita Business Journal. Textron Aviation in Wichita looking to turn the page from a nearly month-long machinist strike that ended on Sunday. The company unveiling its next generation of light jets, the Cessna Citation M2 Gen 3, the CJ3 Gen 3, and the CJ4 Gen 3. The announcement yesterday, it's made on the eve of the National Business Aviation Association Business Aviation Convention and Exhibition in Las Vegas, highlighting that each aircraft will be equipped with Garmin Emergency Autoland technology and some other new features. Jets are still currently under development. The CJ4 expected to enter into service in 2026 and the other two Gen 3s in 2027. Garmin's recently announced G3000 Prime Avionics Suite will be included in the CJ4 Gen 3. Textron Aviation will be the first manufacturer announcing it will have that technology on its aircraft. Evergy announcing yesterday it's going to build combined cycle natural gas plants in Reno and Sumner counties. Estimated project cost of more than $1 billion each and scheduled openings by the end of the decade. Now, one of those plants will be located 4 miles south of Conway Springs in Sumner County, right across the road from a current Evergy substation. That one should be done by the year 2029. The plant in Reno County will be about a mile south of South Hutchinson, should be done by the year 2030. Evergy said each plant will serve customers for about 40 years and will each create about 30 skilled craft jobs, paying more than $90,000 annually. Each facility will get a decade-long property tax exemption, estimating post-exemption revenues of $500 million over the life of the structures. There you go. That is a local business update from the Wichita Business Journal. More local business news from the Business Journal twice. Live every morning with Steve and Ted on KNSS. We'll have more business news tomorrow morning. What is King Charles III up to out of Britain? Well, he should be prepared to dance when he visits Samoa this week.
All right.
The Pacific Island nation's honorary consul made sure of that when he visited St. James Palace recently, wearing nothing but a bark cloth wrap and a necklace historically worn by orator chiefs. King Charles grinned while gamely trying to follow along as the consul moved through the steps of a traditional dance. King Charles traveling to Samoa for a meeting of top government officials from each of the 56 independent nations that make up the Commonwealth, of which King Charles is its symbolic head.
Yes.
Yeah. So King Charles might be dancing in the Samoa wearing a bark cloth wrap.
Wow.
That's like a Fred Flintstone will be wearing.
Thanks for letting us end on that.
Yeah, no problem.
Image.
Oh, yeah. A large caravan of migrants is heading from southern Mexico right here to the U.S. southern border. These thousands are called God Guides Us is the name of the group. And you got members from everywhere. Venezuela, Colombia, Haiti, Afghanistan, Nepal. They all want to come into the U.S. They're trying to get to the border before President Trump could be elected back to the White House. Caravans like this rarely make it to the southern border as a group intact. Some splinter off and stick around in Mexico City. In some cases, they end up with a cartel. Then they come into the U.S. in some smaller groups. So we'll see what happens with all those folks that are trying to make their way to the U.S. southern border sooner rather than later. Issue that continues on. All right. It is, we're glad to have you with us here this morning. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Stay tuned for Glenn Beck, The Dana Show with Dana Last, Sean Hannity Show, and news updates all day. Steve and Ted in the morning, 98.7 and 1330, KNSS Wichita. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday. Since